Fellow Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends talk about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club. Shitebag if you don't.
2017 patter there, James. Fair enough.
Where do you think I get all my jokes?
From the past. So we're back again, and we have a sort of agenda. We'll probably kind of be like last week, where it's a bit rambly. But yeah. Hey, you know, that's the way it goes.
It's like a cabinet meeting. Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, indeed. We're kind of, yeah, like I say, free-falling at the moment.
Free falling.
I think Beautiful. That's where you were going.
Yeah. I should have said because I'm to confirm it.
Fair enough. Well, we'll just get into it. So again, once again, I've not written fuck all this week for any introductions. So on the mics with my good self Kutch tonight is Jamie.
Hello.
And next to him is James.
Hiya.
Hello.
I'd just like to add, I have a headache and James's positivity is already fucking me off so much. I can't take it.
Well, I have to be positive, you know, because I've spent a lot of time trying to build a wicker man with a knife. Have you tried cutting down trees with a knife? It's not that easy, is it? You only know that joke.
You don't have to cut down a tree. You can take bark off.
Yeah.
No. Or,
Jesus, James, you're doing it a stupid way the whole time. How long have you been building a wicker man with a knife for and didn't figure that out?
Many a year.
You're fucking me off of that as well.
Was it a knife and matchsticks by any chance? Because yeah. That's a long way about it.
That is a long way to go.
I need to get you on a course with Beatty. He'll show you how to build a proper wicker man.
He has a beard of a woodsman.
He does. Aye. So what are we going to talk about this week? I mean, there's only been a few major events happen in the last, 7 days since we were last here. Oh. Yeah. First off, May.
Yeah.
Teflon May. She's actually going. Well, yeah. She's not gone yet, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, she said she's going to
still
go.
Not go anywhere.
What was it the... When she...
7th of June.
7th of June.
Was the date it was getting touted.
Yeah.
Or I thought it was 7th of July, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is it not 7th of June that the leadership contest
yeah.
kicks off?
Is it? Yeah. Aye. Oh, fuck, yeah. There's a lot of them.
She's finally decided to pack it in. That fucking speech. My God. I've never seen such a strop. Like, proper huff right at the end of it.
Yeah.
What was worse was all the... fucking media fawning afterwards going, you have to feel for it on a personal level. And Owen Jones had a really good video that went viral of him going, no, I don't feel anything for her because like she's fucked over disabled people's lives and her policies have like, you know, literally killed people and all this stuff. So I don't care if she was a bit sad, she's losing the most powerful job in the country. Yeah. Oh no, boo-hoo.
The architect of the A-board vans that literally said to migrants, go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she did. She was terrible in the Home Office before she was ever Prime Minister as well.
Yeah.
Hostile environment.
Yeah, just awful. Like, she tried to take Grenfell as a win as well in her speech. It was just like, that speech, all the things that she was on about, it was like, brought an end to austerity after causing austerity.
Yeah,
like, fuck. Yeah, it was... And then in the like her huffy little like, I love my country.
Yeah.
As she walked away, it was like a proper.
I was disappointed that
throwing the toys out the pram. Yeah.
There was a video cut about of like a pair of kids that were like who timed like a dance. They improvised a dance routine to that whole speech.
I saw that today. It was really weird, but kind of funny all at the same time. I was also disappointed that she didn't sing a little song as she went back in the door like David Cameron did. Obviously, didn't realise his mic was... It was really funny.
That was like... It's like that blank, you know, the noise of the blank mind.
Yeah.
Just like turned around.
It must be a weight off your shoulders. Like, fuck yes. I'm not Prime Minister anymore.
I'm not going to deal with this shit.
Yeah. But I suppose, like, to make up for that, it took about 30 seconds before you got the theme for Curb Your Enthusiasm to kick off when she walked off.
So that's led to, like, obviously you were saying the almost instant media fawning for her. I had to turn the TV off because after about 20 minutes, it was just like, no, this is awful. Like,
I saw Owen Jones do his thing live, and then later on, I switched on Sky, and he did exactly the same on Sky. It was like exactly the same spiel. I was like, well, fair enough.
Yeah. But then it was the same question, and he was talking to the same people. So, he definitely had the right point, I think, there.
I think a lot of people have been saying, oh, she's the worst prime minister ever. And I actually think that history will almost forget her.
Yeah.
She'll be the person who tried to get Brexit, like in 100 years, it'll be like, oh, Theresa May used to be Home Secretary, tried to get Brexit through and couldn't. No one will remember. They'll remember David Cameron for triggering it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah. He'll definitely
He rolled the dice twice. He rolled the dice for the Scottish election, almost lost that.
Yep. Yeah.
Like much closer than anyone thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Especially from when he called it, and then he rolled the dice again and he lost.
Yeah.
And he a lot of austerity as well. So I think that, and also coalition as well. So I think that he's going to be, I think Theresa May will almost be forgotten.
No, I absolutely think she will. And I think whoever comes in next, potentially as well, depending on how they do, but I can't see there being.
That surely is more of a poison chalice than ever now.
Well, I mean, there's the chat of, you know, will they go for a general election, or will, you know, I think the word from Labour is that they're pretty much going to instantly, whoever it is comes in next, that they're going to instantly go for a
EU referendum,
vote of no confidence.
And
try to trigger a general election. I mean, I don't
know about that now. We'll talk about that in our next topic and why that's probably a terrible idea.
Definitely. But I
also just want to say, obviously, there's not going to be a UK in 100 years' time. There's not going to be a UK because Scotland will probably go away. Northern Ireland will probably unify with Ireland at some point. And bloody England will probably split itself apart as well.
Yeah.
Into, like, places where no immigrants are allowed. And then the Earth will be destroyed shortly after. So it won't matter. There won't be any humans to look back on anyway.
Well, let's put it this way. We've probably got, what, a good 30, 50 years left in us, environmentally, maybe.
Apart from those in space! I saw Command & Conquer Red Alert Deep Cut for you there.
Wow.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. See, like, once... Look, in fact, no, we'll go into that later on, I think. I was going to mention about the independence thing, but, like, a lot of folk, after the... a lot of folk were kind of going on about, like, oh, you Scottish, you're just kind of living off the land of England. I was like, all right, then, so if we leave, I'll tell you what, we'll take our oil, we'll take our industry, we'll take our immigrants. You can take your nuclear weapons back, that'd be absolutely fine.
We can take our oil, but we can just leave it where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave it in the ground.
Yeah.
Don't need that.
That would be important.
Yeah. Although, in terms of manufacturing, a lot of the UK manufacturing figures rely on food and drink from Scotland.
Yeah.
So it'd be a blow to balance of trade. So But it was more just a joke because, first, don't come in UK or humans.
Who do you see being the favourite to take over?
Dear God, no. We've got Michael Gove. We've got Boris Johnson. I'll just go through the list because I'm needing
Dominic
to hear. Dominic Raab. Michael Gove. Sorry, I call him Gove because I hate him.
All right.
Are you an extra on the bill?
Michael Gove.
Jeremy Cunt, Andrea Leibsom, Rory Stewart.
Rory Stewart. It seems to be the best of the bunch.
Yeah,
but
he's a lesser of eight evils.
I like him 80%.
Yeah,
when he made up our statistic on was it Radio 4 or something? He was like, 80% of bloody bloody blah like this. It's like, where did you get that statistic from? And he just went, oh, I just made it up. He wants to be Prime Minister.
And then we've got Esther McVeigh, Matt Hancock, and Sajid David, that's it. I can never get that name out. There's people want to put their name in the hat, but
I don't know. Right, so this will sort of lead on to our next thing, but I don't know if Sajid Javid will go for a hard Brexit stance. or not at least a strong, like the next person. So we'll sort of meld into our next thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the EU election results just came out, and the Tories came fifth, I think, after the Greens.
Yeah.
And the Labour did not do well, and the Brexit Party won in, well, overall, they won in the UK.
Yeah.
30-something, 38%, I want to say.
38%, yeah.
And in Scotland, only 15.
Yeah.
SNP won, got like 38% here.
Yeah, they increased their vote and got another bloody MEP.
Yeah.
Did they only have two last time?
Yeah, they only had two, and they've got three now.
And they also won they won 30 out of 32 council areas.
It was only
Orkney and Shetlands.
Shetlands.
Yeah. And Orkney,
yeah.
But so that bodes well for him for a general election. But basically it means that Lib Dems did well as well. But it basically means that whoever's gonna be the next Tory leader has to be relatively hard Brexit.
Mm.
Which is which means it might push Labour into being more Remain-y.
Yeah, well, a lot of the chat that I've heard today is that, like, essentially this could be the final thing that, you know, people wouldn't be surprised if suddenly Labour came out of the camp in the next few days and went, no, we're Remain.
See, I think they've been planning to do it at conference.
Yeah.
But they might want to do it before.
Because of this. Because of this result.
I mean, September, I suppose there'll be a new Tory leader in place. Mm. But they might want to do it before so that they can be more clear.
So, yeah.
In case, as we were saying earlier, the Tory leader might call a snap election. But if they did that just now, the Tories didn't win a single constituency.
No.
As councils, I think, But still, they didn't win a single constituency. Yeah. Holy shit. That's mental.
I mean, there is the whole thing where the EU election doesn't always necessarily, like reflect a general election.
But if they don't change to a hard Brexit stance, then it's likely the Brexit Party will do almost as well again. Yeah.
Well, they could become either the top or second top party, in the UK.
God.
Which is terrifying for a party whose sole purpose is
Brexit. That's it. That's all they're about.
But what is interesting, up here we had the three SNP, so pro-EU, pro-independence, which is actually, that's actually a good result for what, I think we, at least me and you anyway.
We believe it in our bubble of a podcast.
Yeah. That's a pretty good result. Lib Dems got a seat as well, so there's another one. Labour didn't. It was Lib Dems, the Tories, and the Brexit Party.
Yeah.
And that's your six seats. What's gutting?
That's mad that Labour didn't win a seat in Scotland.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it's
if you said
mental.
That just 10 years ago, people would have thought you were fucking nuts.
Yeah. What's absolutely gutting is that the Greens didn't get a
Scottish
seat.
That was surprised. That was quite surprising.
Because, just before, the days before we were polling that we would get Maggie Chapman in, and... Yeah, it didn't happen. But I think we went after the UKIP stroke Brexit vote, and that ended up being... Well, no, we didn't go after that vote, but we went after that seat.
Yeah.
And that ended up actually being stronger than... And I think the biggest problem... So, the Greens did amazingly well down south.
Yeah.
Seven seats, that's amazing.
I think across the UK, they got 12%.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, I thought they'd maybe get 12%. In Scotland.
Yeah.
Maybe 14 if they were lucky.
Yeah.
And but it's surprising because that means then a Green vote's higher than 12% in the rest of the UK.
Yeah.
Because Scotland's dragging it down.
Down, yeah.
I mean, not much. It's only 9% or whatever it is, 8%. But yeah, that's... Majid got in.
Majid. That's that was really good news. Totally chuffed about that.
Mayor of Sheffield?
Sheffield, I think. Somewhere in Yorkshire.
Somewhere down there.
Yeah.
And Somali immigrant.
Yep.
And cool guy.
Yeah, all round awesome guy.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Lots of green. Scott Cato. Seven green MEPs. It was a beautiful wave down south.
Yeah. I think he won three seats as well.
Yeah.
Top.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the problem with it seems to be that down south, a lot of the Labour vote in those areas was essentially transferred to Greens. Greens and Lib Dems took the Labour vote. Up here, our biggest problem is, I think, that the Greens are pro-Indy.
Yeah.
And trying to get...
Also Tories, because Tories down south got a lot of Tories switched in council elections to Greens as well.
Greens, yeah.
Which they can't do up here because we're pro-independence.
Pro-Indy, yeah.
So they just can't do
it. So it's, you know, looking at it kind of myself, I think that that's probably one of the, you know, a problem for the Greens up here. I say a problem. It's a problem in converting that, especially like a lot of Labour supporters up here are mostly unionists. There is a you know, yes, Labour camp, but...
Yeah. Labour being a union party. Like, well, depend if you're talking about, you know what I mean, because Labour's lost a lot. A lot of her support's just gone to the SNP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's an interesting one. But then there's the other thing is that the SNP, people are going with the strongest voice at the moment.
Yeah.
It's, like I say, just a bit gutting because I really, really wanted to see a small green wave in Scotland. But
although there has been a green wave in the rest of Europe, and it does look like the Greens
will be kingmakers,
yeah. Which is quite nice. So,
yeah,
should do well. And also, I just mentioned the Alliance Party won a seat in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Which is the first time since I don't know when that it went to a non... don't want to say sectarian party, but you know what I mean? But like a non... DUP or Sinn Féin or whoever else, based on those lines.
Yeah.
Sectarian party isn't fair, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because they did quite well at the council elections, was it recently? Yeah. Yep. So, sort of new voice in Northern Irish politics. Yeah. Sinn Féin also got dropped in Ireland.
In the Republic.
Paddy Houlihan.
I was just going to say.
He's a UFC fighter, but he went against the grain and got elected as a councillor in Dublin.
He's an ex-UFC fighter now, isn't he? Because he ended up, was it injury?
It was a rare blood disorder.
Oh, blood rare, that was it.
I thought it was a brain thing because SB is camp brought in brain scans, but it was actually a rare blood disorder, apparently. I must have got mixed up with someone else. And so... Yeah, you know, he's got his own gym now. He had one that he opened, and then he seemed to not like that, and it seemed to be a bit of a weird business. He was opening another one, but anyway, he's an MEP. A councillor.
Irish councillor. Which is brilliant. I bet you when the vote came in and he discovered he won, that his speech included something about going home and having a nice cup of tea.
Irish people drink more tea than British people, listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
How fucked up is that?
That's mental.
I don't think I could drink any more tea. I don't think... I just realised, Kutch said, just before we started recording, do you want a cup of tea?
He's made me a cup of tea.
That would have cured my headache. My banter would have been so much better. Yeah. It's all Kutch's fault.
So if you don't like... We'll take a break in a minute. And, I'll make you a cup of tea.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Paddy Houlihan, good on.
Yeah, that was an interesting
one. For Sinn Féin as well. All right. Fair dues.
Fair enough. Europe's, I think the sort of right, far right one in France as well, didn't they? Like, they took a lot of.
They got a big one, didn't
they? Le Pen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so did, I want to say, La Ligue, but I keep almost saying La Liga. But they're like the northern Italian sort of nationalists.
Yeah.
But they're not just nationalists, they're like pretty right wing.
Yeah.
And they won in Italy, but and they're cunts.
Yeah. So it's interesting that.
But the far right didn't. There was predictions that they'd do like stupidly
a sweep,
but they haven't. So.
But it is interesting that like there's certainly seems to be a lot of vote. Diverging away from the sort of centrists, right and left to center parties, and moving either side, either to the far right or essentially to the far left, where you're looking at the green vote. It's interesting that there's a
centrist dads all across Europe, dying from Carly.
It's an interesting time. And
we're in the age of picking a side now, aren't we?
It seems like that.
You're either
kind of went
far right or far left
route for a while, and now it's either or. But then that's when it kind of gets a bit dangerous, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's also got big implications for Scottish independence as well, because the more it seems like the rest of the UK, especially England, is just determined to have Brexit at almost any cost.
Yeah.
Then the further and more of a wedge, it shows there's clear political differences in the futures of the two countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what was the percentages I worked out earlier on? Where are we?
Gotta be careful with this, though, because as John Curtis, fucking Sophologist Supreme, is John Curtis on TV? Yeah. Yes. He was on TV loads last night, and then he was on, like, first thing this morning when I got, I was like, fucking hell, John Curtis.
He lives for this.
He needs these times to survive.
I got a message from friend of the podcast, Duncan, saying, I see they've wheeled out John Curtis. Activated him from his slumber or something.
He's like some kind of robot. Like,
he is.
We need your statistical powers now. On you go.
Well, I mean, it was just a kind of quick count from the percentages. So, like, in Scotland, the pro-EU vote ran at 61.89% without Labour.
Yeah.
And 71.23% with Labour. So that's...
It's a bit of things about those... Because, like, SNP, they'll only be, like, 4% or something, but they're, like a good chunk, like, 25-30% of their vote is Leave.
Yeah.
So it's like, how many of them went to the Brexit Party? Probably not. We probably still voted for the SNP. There's loads of caveats, but...
But when you look at it as the parties, the parties
stood on.
They stood on that. So, you know, if you voted that way, whether or not you want to leave, or if you've still voted them, then you're voting that, you know, you're voting for that legislation, you know, that to go through. But yeah, like I say, 71.23% in Scotland. I mean, that is clear.
Oh, in Scotland?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, that sounds, more. Sorry, I thought you were talking about...
No, that's just in Scotland. Yeah. So that is, like you say, it's a clear difference.
Yeah.
When you look at the rest of the UK, across the whole of the UK, it was 40.4% for pro-EU without Labour, 54.5% with Labour.
Mm.
Which is, again, it still weighs positive for pro-EU, but this far in the game...
Yeah,
you would have thought that would have been higher. Like that gives me squeaky bum for another referendum.
Yeah, I think these people who think that we need a second referendum are just convinced they're going to win.
Yeah,
and if you lose a second referendum, that's pretty much it.
That's you tell. Absolutely tell.
And it's really weird. And people are just like, second referendum now, and it's just I just don't think the groundwork's been laid to make it work.
But when you think about the Brexit Party, look what they've done in 6 weeks. Can you imagine if they have time for a referendum again?
Although the Party is essentially it was just a transfer of the UKIP vote.
Yeah, totally.
Mostly, yeah. And Tories,
but then they gained quite a lot.
Some Tories, but I don't know. Just that there's a big thing where it's like, they didn't have a mandate and they didn't do anything. It's like, well, they didn't really
they didn't need
to
one.
Because
no,
they
the
were
base
just
had already
they were
been
just,
built by UKIP.
Yeah, it was just new UKIP. That's what they could have. Farage could have gone back and taken over leadership of UKIP and changed it to new UKIP, done the old fucking Labour trick, and it would have been the same.
Things can only get better. Yeah. Just like Tony Blair used to do.
What they need, I mean. It's well known that you need to have a talk show to build a party, just like UKIP was built on the backs.
What, you mean Question Time?
No. Yeah, there you go. I've actually forgotten the guy's name. My original joke was about the UKIP guy.
Oh,
shit.
The time and the place with...
Yeah.
Morning. What was his fucking name? Oh man. This is
that'll
great.
Come back to us at like a point.
I can't type it into my phone.
I am going to Google it because that'll annoy the shit out of me for the rest of the episode. There's people screaming at us right now. Roy. Oh, for fuck's sake. Robert Kilroy.
Robert Kilroy.
Kilroy. That's it.
Kilroy.
Robert Kilroy.
Silk.
Yeah.
Aye. Do you know how I got that? Was by putting in Roy and UKIP into Google.
Yeah.
you can stop shouting at us now.
yeah.
Yeah. Aye.
I mean, who had the worst career? Right, who had the most dishonorable career? Robert Kilroy Silk or Jeremy Kyle?
Ooh. Ooh. Jeremy Kyle hasn't run for a right-wing party yet.
Yeah, he probably will now that his show's been fucking
cancelled.
Yeah.
He's got nothing else to do, eh?
I used to play drinking games to, you know, when I used to be younger and drink in the afternoon to the Jeremy Kyle show, because it was so absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you could set up a good drinking game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
quite a lot of folk from Fife that were on that show as well.
Well, obviously with Kilroy, it was just whenever he intimated something racist.
Yeah. Which was all the time.
Just like the Sky at Night and Patrick Moore.
Was he much racist on the Sky at Night?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's generally his personal views.
But you could tell.
And Games Master. He was usually quite racist in Games Master. But yeah, 90s TV. Wasn't it great?
Well, Games Master, like, you know, why is it just Patrick Moore?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I used to buy Games Master magazine. It was just Patrick Moore with, like, metal stuff on his face.
Yeah.
It's fucking bizarre. It's like, oh, let's base our entire fucking magazine around this.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Do you think they, like, the folks saw Patrick Moore kicking about and, like, they asked him for cheats from, like, Shinobi or something like that? It's like,
oh, I think he probably did get a lot of that, especially, yeah. Like...
Well, I'll tell you what, little boy, why don't you have a telescope and instead spend some time looking at the moon?
See, that, or he did have, like, a little cheat book full of cheat codes and stuff.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah. That would be something.
Oh, the days.
90s TV. So, where are we?
We're at for a tea break.
Yeah.
We go for a tea break. Tea break and try and figure out what else we'll talk about.
Yeah.
We've got some ideas. We've got some ideas.
We can do this.
We've got things.
We'll get through it.
Back in five. Right. Tea break over. How was your cup of tea?
It's okay.
Just fucking okay.
You heard me.
Do you know what? I made you two cups of tea.
What?
Yeah.
Because the first one, I put milk in it.
You always do that.
Remember when I came through and asked you to open the milk?
Oh. Yeah. Cold.
Oh, as soon as I put it in, I went, oh, fuck, Jamie's weird and likes his tea black.
I gave Kutcher milk him and he came twice.
Nice reference.
Thank you. So, yeah. That was a reference to a time I wanked Kutcher off.
Yeah. Aye, so we've had our cup of tea. I've got my cup of tea. It's fucking banging. I'm loving it.
Fire right. Through
mine. It's so hot just now because it's black tea. That it's hard. It's actually hard to taste in a way. So let me just.
Yeah, I've went right through mine. I was.
Tastes like black tea. Sorry, I'll continue the ASMR.
Tastes like black tea. Yeah.
Tastes like black tea. No.
I like how you're trying to do sort of like stereo thing with a mono mic.
Yeah, no, I realised that's my first side of it. But wait a minute.
If there's anything that as a positive person, there's not a lot of things that don't make me positive, but something that drives me fucking radio rental is the sound of like chewing or those like sippy noises.
Yeah,
like,
me as well.
ASMR would just ruin my life. I've tried it and just I hate it.
It is one of my hates. Oh. Especially on broadcasts, because it's like getting beamed directly into my fucking brainstem. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely hot. I'm like, I hate
it. I don't mind it so long as there's a warning that you're getting it.
No.
Nice.
But see when it happens and you just notice it, it's horrible.
Yeah.
There's
no way of stopping it.
A bird just landed on Kutchy's, on the telephone pole, I think it is, going out from Kutchy's conservatory where we're recording. It looked like it was struggling to stay on. And then did a shite and it jumped across to the next one. It was obviously trying to angle properly to do the shite.
And quite, or either that or lost its balance. And
see, that's what I like.
Shit itself.
Fucking
hell. We've got magpies fighting.
Yeah.
Magpies fighting blackbirds.
It's because
Simba's scratching your fence and looking up at them.
Oh, so that's why they're going tits, because he's there.
Yeah. That's Kutchy's cat.
Yeah.
I was about to say. It's
bothering the magpies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's chasing the birds. He's on the fence.
Go on yourself, Simba. There's one behind you.
They're attacking you. Watch out, Simba.
Oh my god,
he's genuinely fighting. Right. There's nothing better
than watching.
There's nothing better than visual medium over audio.
Oh, he's...
Oh, Kutch is now telling
Kutch is laying down the law.
Taking him in. He's like, I was taking him on, Dad. I'm pure hard. I can take them on. Two no, birds. They definitely won't this, peck out my eyes.
They're going to think I'm soft.
No, I'm going back out.
Ah, yo, you like,
I'll take them on again. Fucking... Go on. Yeah, he's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's coming for more.
So that was... I'm sure it was riveting, listeners. You know, something entirely visual described.
It was actually pretty class.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite exciting.
Simba's such a badass.
Probably the best banter we've had all day.
And he just shot us a look like, not, fuck
Kutch
you.
Is a dickhead for interfering, to be honest.
Oh, here we go.
I don't want the vets bill. Are they back?
They're staring up.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, it's he's getting ready to go. He's getting ready to rumble. Oh, it's I think.
Right, my stupid fucking cat.
Yay.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. Sorry.
Back to describing another visual medium in audio form.
Yeah.
The new Picard trailer dropped for a new Star Trek series based on the life, the golden years of one captain or admiral, as it's in trailer, Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, and it looks...
It looks interesting.
Like, well, it didn't really give much away, but still kind of gave a feel for what we're going to get.
It's going to be more serious. And it also opened exactly how all fans knew it would. Him, and he's back in his vineyard. Doing his thing. Deep space wine. Deep space. As many a meme has said. Other people... Now, I've only seen drug commercials a few times because I've watched things I shouldn't have been watching in the States.
There's a lot of them on the TV just now as well.
Yeah.
But no, like American ones, which are like, you know, which if you ever watch, like, say you're trying to watch a boxing card or an MMA card and you have to get an American stream, they're just like fast food commercial, fast food advert, and then drugs advert, fast food advert, drugs adverts. Like, holy shit. And their drugs adverts are fucking weird. And everyone was like, oh, this is like a Viagra advert. And some people have done the edit.
Yeah, you sent me a version of it. And it's like, surprising how...
And like the list of... Because obviously go like, this is not good for symptoms of da-da-da-da-da. Some of those lists go on for like twice the length of the advert. You're like, it's like, have this, it'll save your life. Then it quotes every single reason why you shouldn't. It's like, this will save your life, but it will definitely kill you. But it'll save your life. Like, fuck. There's some skeptics in America. The one people have like weird conspiracy theories going on. Because literally they can have anything on the screen. And after like 2 minutes of ad break, there'll be 30 seconds of it negating itself.
Did you not see the small print on the Brexit bus? That's why they got over 350 million. Yep. Anyway. So it basically starts with Picard in his vineyard, bottles of Chateau Picard. And I genuinely saw people, because I'm in Star Trek groups on Facebook, because I'm that cool guy.
We're cool guys.
Yeah. And actually, invited B to it. I don't think he's joined it yet. Fuck you, B.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
You will love it.
People on that were pointing out that it was like the wrong region bottles for where the vineyards meant to be and stuff. And there was no Chateaus in that thing. And it's like, oh my God.
But the Chateau's just a brand. That's
I know. Yeah. But anyway. And then it's a voiceover from someone that sounds like, what's her name from Firefly? Gina Torres.
Oh.
Sounds like, I was like, oh, is that Gina Torres? And then I looked on the comments on Star Trek group and someone else was like, is that Gina Torres? Yeah. It does sound like her when you listen to it. And she's talking, asking him why he left Starfleet and that, you know, he led an armada and something bad happened, which we assume is the destruction of Romulus, but we don't know. And it looks like you say, they've set it up the tone for it to be a character piece rather than pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Which think will be good.
Well, Next Gen was always in that vein anyway. It was like a mix between fucking Hornblower and like philosophical questions.
You had your sort of data-driven episodes as well, which were kind of...
What is it to be human?
Yeah, character.
Which you have in every series of Star Trek and some guys.
I think it's interesting to go deep in on a character. like, you know, like Picard, and, you know, again, it is that thing of you've had that time go by and you're essentially jumping that far forward, you know, as well in Star Trek. And yeah, it would just be interesting to see where it went. I mean, I've said for some time, like, in the films, that they should have a crossover with the new old cast.
Yeah.
And the next gen cast. But this'll do.
New old cast, what do you mean?
Like the new,
like the J.J. Abrams cast.
The J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The new old cast.
You know they were doing, you know they had a film ready to go, which included like Voyager and Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And Next Gen.
Yeah.
And then they went over to, they went, nah, we're going to reset it.
Yeah.
And that was
that. Well, it was the...
It changed. Did it change? No, because it was still Paramount, wasn't it?
It was CBS.
Oh, that's what it was.
Paramount had the movie rights, and then they split as companies, and then, it all went a bit skewed.
I think Frakes had... I think Brett Spiner had went. It was someone...
Probably Frakes, because he directed Frakes a lot of them.
But I'm sure it was Brett Spiner. Someone from an ex-Gen cast was involved. Think it was Brett, you know, they'd like a few of them together had written the script, probably Frakes as well, yeah.
Because Frakes had directed like the last three.
That man knows
films.
How to direct Star Trek,
he
like,
does.
All his episodes are fucking great.
His episodes of The Orville as well are pretty good. And the
he
episodes...
did direct episodes of Enterprise, and I can't remember good because almost every episode of Enterprise is
bad.
Fucking shit. There's some good stuff in there, but. The last speaking
he's
of the
in
last
episode of Enterprise. Yeah.
Speaking of the last episode of Game of Thrones, we haven't talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
because Kutch is a fucking. He's way behind.
He's behind the kids.
Behind.
You're not hip. You're not cool.
He's
not
kids. He's going to catch up on it with his impending child.
Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it without giving anything away?
No. We're not going to. All what he'd say was that people like the Game of Thrones ending is disappointed. He's like, did you watch Star Trek Enterprise?
Did you see it
was a fucking holodeck at the end?
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, Riker kisses a hologram of T'Pol. It's fucking nuts. He's a chef. It doesn't make any sense.
It's so weird.
It's so bizarre.
It's up there with Dallas, and it was all a dream. Like, fuck
so
off.
Mad. It was almost like they got news that the show was ending 2 weeks before they filmed that.
What are we gonna do?
Oh, like, we'll get Troy and Riker in.
And
it's like, please, man, please need this.
Fucking Berman.
Also by that
fucking Rick Berman.
Also by that point, Chunky Riker as well.
Yeah.
Oh, trying to make him look like non-Chunky Riker. Riker, we all knew it was Chunky Riker. Just like David Boreanaz. Chunky Angel. I'm no bad to talk about that. I've been on the chunk as well. But, you know, if how you look's your entire shtick.
Yeah.
And then, to be fair, he's lost a bit again, or he's like turned it more into muscle there.
Yeah, what's that?
By the end of Bones, he was...
By the end of Bones? Fucking beginning, he was...
At the beginning of Bones, he was just a bit chunky. Chunky David Borealis.
To be fair, by the end of Angel, he was getting a bit chunky, so... Aye.
So we've fat shamed some people.
Yeah, I can say this, I'm fat, it's fine.
Is that how that works?
That's how it works, mate. That's how it works.
What do you remember Enterprise's like theme song as well?
Oh, I've got faith of my heart. Will the rock take me? Tune.
That was a cracking tune.
It's terrible. But
it's terrible for a Star Trek theme tune.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a long time getting from there to here.
It gets stuck.
It does.
Sticks like, in your head. So
many Faith of the Heart memes.
Yes, so many. Sticks in your head so much. But it is just fucking terrible.
Yes, right.
And Russell Watson as well. Like, so weird. So weird.
Anyway.
But this Star Trek won't be shit, hopefully.
Nah, I think the car's going to be proper good. I mean, Patrick Stewart's been involved in it from the get-go as well. So
it's like a 10-hour movie rather than... Yeah. So it's not going to be episodic, like, adventures at all.
Yeah,
it's going to
Which is what TV
I'm sure
is
they'll
at
have
the
bit. I'm sure they'll have bits of that, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it won't be the
TV
main focus.
Is, you couldn't...
You need
the only thing
now,
that I think that gets away currently, like big drama, is something like the Orville, and it's because it is like a love letter to Next Generation.
Yeah.
It gets away with that sort of like weekly adventure.
Well, it's like Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine was on the edge of old TV and new TV.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, first couple of series, it was like it was episodic adventure thing. And then they got more and more into like the longer storylines and well, that's character then development.
And it's sort of like towards the end of that, you then got like Battlestar, you know, appear, which was very much the arc, the whole, you know, the whole story arc. You didn't get the episodic kind of thing. And look at, I mean, look now. I
suppose Ronald D. Moore's kind of his thing, like Carnival as well.
Yeah, true.
Well, I really want to see What We Left Behind, the Deep Space Nine documentary.
Yeah, that's supposed to be really good.
I'll wait for it to come on Netflix.
Yeah.
But apparently they confirm, or Andrew Robinson, is it Andrew Robinson? Something like that, confirms that Garrick, he played Garrick, is gay.
Yeah.
And he was meant to be gay, but they didn't push on it that hard.
Yeah,
but
they were.
He was clearly, it's like, I always knew he was gay. I also found out that Bashir went out with, in real life, went out, what's his name? Went out with Nana Visitor, plays, what's her face?
Kira.
Kira.
Right?
Yeah. I thought he was gay. Maybe just because I thought of the Garrick thing so much.
Who was it? Who was it that thought?
That was me.
I didn't even need to finish that
sentence. So I lost a bet years ago to Beatty of this podcast that him, that what's his name? The guy that plays Bashir and the guy that plays the doctor in
Battlestar
were the same person. I was absolutely fucking convinced. I think it was only a fiver, but I just... someone put a meme about that actually in a group recently and I sent it to Beatty. Just said, it still hurts. It still gets me. Fucking, what an idiot I was.
Dear. Well, I suppose that's just covered some TV, topical TV.
Yeah.
Will we go a bit local?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go a bit local. We've got a bit of a shout out because we've kind of been interacting, or some of us have been interacting with a new shop that's opened up in Dunfermline, and I think we're going to try and hook in with them at some point.
Interacting is an interesting word for alcoholism.
Interacting, buying beer and saying, be on our podcast, go on.
I don't think I've even mentioned the podcast where I've been speaking to him.
Neither did I, but both Dave and Max have been big proponents of, come on the podcast.
So we're talking about the Caledonian Beer Merchant in the Maygate in Dunfermline. Craft beer.
Yep. Dude that's shop. Opened up a shop which sells purely craft beer. A lot of local stuff, but also a lot of weird sort of world stuff and stuff from...
You were telling us about was like really interesting.
Yeah. There's just like loads of really good beers and beers with different themes. Yeah. And he seems to be doing pretty... decent trade at the moment as well.
I want to go back in because I've been buying a lot of like with craft beers. I know my way around the fruitier stuff and the lighter stuff, but I really like dark beers as well and like heavier stuff, and I know the cask side of that. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking the other day, because he put up some photos of like some, he's put up a few photos of some heavier stuff, and I was like, God, I love heavy beer, like heavy beers, and I don't know much about the craft side of that, so I'm gonna go in and ask
it'd
him
be interesting and be like your heavy porters and stuff like that.
Yeah, and just, what, you know, hit me.
Yeah. He's got, from what I can remember, he's got some like black metal style black metal labels and stuff like that, which...
There's one with like, you know, the Mexican skulls.
Yeah, yeah.
And I recognise the branding, but I've never had, like the dark one, I was like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
It looks right up my street.
I went in. I mean, I lifted a couple of locals. I got an Inner Bay from Inverkeithen.
Their Vice beer is bang. That's like, all the stuff's pretty good, but their Vice beer is very good.
Inner Bay are knocking it out of the park with their beers. Some from Lochleven, the Lochleven Brewery. Got their, what was it, the Shining Light? Which is one of their pale ales. It's quite tasty, and the Outlaw King as well.
Was it Lochleven Source Code? I think it was Lochleven. It was like an IPA sort of thing.
All right.
Also Inner Bay and other stuff as well, but also had Cow and Beef, who I didn't like when I had it on tap. Mm-hmm. I think in the commercial, I really wasn't a fan. Maybe something had just gone wrong. Oh, no, I didn't drink it, actually. I gave it to my dad. And he said it was really good. Ah. So there you go. So I'm happy to try it again. Yeah. But
it's definitely worth it. If you're a beer fan and you're sort of in Fife, West Fife, or you're passing through Dunfermline.
It's worth it.
Stop it. It's on the May Gate. Just along from our favourite little shop of heroes.
Yeah. Always seems to be busy as well. Yeah. Like, when I go in, there always seems to be people have come in just before me and are still there. And then people come in straight, you know, while I'm in there. So it's like, holy crap, they seem to be doing, which I was talking to him about this. It's like, if you'd opened this place 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
But now it can, but sort of thing. Yeah.
Like, I was having a quick word about, you know, how's it doing and how's things going. And what I'm really impressed with is his tie-ins with the businesses along the May Gate. Like, on Twitter, he's been doing, like, he does a photo a day type thing of a beer in a location right in Dunfermline, which is kind of cool. You know, he's very much a... an ambassador for, you know, for the town, but he's also a bit of an ambassador for the shops on the Maygate, that he's tying in a beer, like he will quite often tie in a beer with a shop. Like, for example, Little Shop of Heroes, he'll have a particular type of beer saying, oh, you know, come in, buy this beer, get yourself a comic, enjoy a night in, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, if you're thinking about getting your hair cut, head along to Barber Club or the Old Town Club, and, you know, grab yourself some of these beers and that kind of thing. So it's that. I think we talked to Albie about it. Is, you know, was there much of a community on the May Gate? And he kind of said that there was and there wasn't, in that, you know, they obviously
very
all...
Very desperate, but
interests. They all have to have a sort of a common interest, because it is that. You know, they all work on the same street, but they all get sort of bogged down in their own work. He seems to be trying to tie that all together a little bit, make it a bit more community. And it's nice to see, again, you know, that build up. But what he had said when I kind of asked him about it, he said is that, you know, he didn't choose that shop for no reason. Yeah. It's got you know, a sort of trendy men's barbers. There's a comic shop. There's like an antique shop down the road. There's across the road from the library. You know, it's a good position to be in to have him tell other people, you know, folk that are coming in to buy beers, you know, recommending places, but also to get them to say, pop in and have a look.
Yeah.
And the kind of demographic.
It is like the trendy
around.
Little part of town.
Yeah.
Such as it is. But you know what I mean? Like,
but, you know, the demographic that is walking along that street.
Aye.
Yeah.
It's you know, ideal. It is. Like, I know I'll go and lift my comics and then walk in there. That's now part of my monthly routine, is I'll go in there and then into a little shop of heroes.
I went in like a few times in like 2 weeks. Yeah. Like, just because people, you know, the sun had just come out.
Yeah.
And people were having, first time I was like, I need to go in and have a look.
Yeah.
And then the other few times it was people were having barbecues and stuff. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to go back. Guess I'll order a beer.
But, so if you want to, listeners, if you want to sort of like check it out and see kind of what he's up to, he has a Twitter, and it's the at the CCBM. Definitely worth checking out.
Or just, like, do you know what? Just fucking Google it.
Yeah, the Caledonian craft beer merchant. But at the CCBM, as I say, he's takes these little pictures of the beers that he's
really well taken pictures as well. Just, has a little walk around the glen.
It's just like he thinks about his shot as well and everything. It always looks good. And as I say, go check him out. Go and visit him. Talk to him. Nice guy. And
I'm looking forward to going. I've got some free time, so I'm going to go down and visit them. And we'll probably badger them about the podcast, like Dave and Mags have done as well. But it sounds like I'm quite a big fan of like places like that, like specialists, like beer stores, whiskey shops. We can go in and sort of go on a little bit of an adventure, go on a little bit of a journey, and just sort of find out what you like about yourself.
And that's it. He's quite happy to recommend and talk to you about the beers and stuff like that. It's a good thing to have in the town.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely.
More of them, please.
Yes, exactly. So, from there, got a little bit more localish news.
Jamie,
I'm staring at me.
Staring at Jamie, like, because, remember.
Like, remember, you were going to lead with us.
Yeah, so we've also got my old coach.
Friend of the podcast.
Stevie Ray. UFC firefighting in Stockholm. I think it's Stockholm, Sweden, this weekend. On UFC Fight Pass around 5 o'clock, I believe. So
yep, it's a normal before, time one.
Yeah.
Oh, oh yeah.
Before the cup final. So
if you want to make a day of it,
Champions League. Sorry, not cup final.
Yeah.
Champions League. So yeah, you can watch it. Good luck to him. I'm sure he'll absolutely smash it.
Yeah.
He's fighting again.
Oh, forgotten now. You've asked me. Yeah. I can't type it. You know, my phone screen's broken.
But he's on a good run though, Stevie. Just now.
Yeah.
Since
I remember,
he's not lost since Glasgow, has he?
I remember seeing it.
No, I don't think so.
And oh, thinking Stevie will win, but that was a tough fight. I can't remember who it was.
But he's been really good in these last few fights. He's had an answer for everyone that's come across him. His last fight, I was sweating quite a bit, though, I have to say. Like, every fight he's
every
been in...
every fight is a bit of a I've been quite sweat sweaty because over it now. It is that thing with him being a local guy. Like, even before, like, there was a personal involvement with like you guys going to his gym and whatnot, even before that, Dublin and you know, the sort of the tenterhooks of the boy from the KDY going up and fighting and
a fifer.
And he's a really nice guy. I've only had like the pleasure of training with him a few times, but every time he's been brilliant. He's a really good coach, a good person to talk to as well. Like he's really approachable. Like I remember going to the first session at Braveheart with Dave, and I was just like, oh. But he's really helpful, well welcome. I suppose that's maybe a plug for him and Braveheart as well. You know, like he's doing really well with his team, and that kind of takes us on to someone else we want to shout out as well. But do we want to go a little bit more into Stevie's fight first? Or
I will find that. So the other thing was we had some guys from his gym, ex-teammates, fighting in Alloa, and they did all right. Like a few of them.
2 out of 3, wasn't it?
2 out of 3. It was Bradley in a K1 fight because his guy dropped out. He won that by knockout. David fell in a fight, and he won by armbar, and I saw his opponent. I saw his opponent post on RMMA today on Reddit. Because you get people who post there and they're like, oh, he was like, oh, I lost my fight, but I landed a head kick, putting up a photo. And I was like, oh, I'm lucky, man. And it's like, he's training with him. He's an absolute beast, you know, and he's great at arm bars as well. Uh-huh. And there was someone else fighting. It was Sean, and Sean lost by decision, I think.
Yeah, it's Stroud.
Yes. Yeah. Shame,
apparently put up quite a good fight, though. He did quite well.
Yeah. So that's a shame. But overall, you know,
good performances. We talked to Sean back on him as well.
The arena show.
The arena show from last June.
Have they got another show coming up anytime soon?
I think they're meant to be doing one. I want to say at the Pavilion, but I think that was the old plan.
That was the old one last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know where they're doing, but I think they're meant to be doing another one.
It would be good to see, because that was a good night. I think they put on a really good event, and it would be nice to see them do some more.
I would love to have gone to see the Art of Combat at the Alhambra, because they're back up doing shows at the Alhambra.
Get Food Dog guys from Dunfermline on there as well.
That's a brilliant gym, Food Dog, as well.
Yeah. So Stevie Ray is fighting Leonard Santos.
Yeah.
Leonardo Santos from Brazil.
Yeah, he's quite good.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, doesn't duck hard fights. Although he's in a lightweight division, so every fight's hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, just wanted to give him a wee shout out.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good luck to you, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you kick guys cunt in. This is the best way of putting it.
Or as Dave screamed at UFC when we were over once, kick him in the throat.
There's nothing better than coming up with like new ingenious shouts at the UFC. I love it. It's good.
Punch away his childhood sense of wonder.
So I suppose we better go and do some Desert Island shit then. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for BBC Radio 4.
Fucking steal my fucking thunder, you cunt.
You know what?
There's only two people that are allowed to do that, and that's me and Penman.
The irony of it all, because my job is an actor / voice actor, yet I never do anything like that on this podcast.
Yeah, know your place.
It's like, around these parts, you're nothing but a mere mortal.
James, you're too positive to be a Radio 4 presenter, let's be real.
Oh, God, no. Radio 5, though. I'd be all about Radio 5.
Are you slightly racist?
Shit. Well, no, 5 extra. I'm all about the sport chat. And about the football scores time. That'd be where, that's my prime spot. I'm not going to the political side. Fuck.
Well, you're winning us over with your introduction here so far, James.
It's extended version.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Radio 4. It's time for Desert Island Dex. And that's how you do it, you fucker!
Oh well.
Steal my thunder, you cunt. So, aye, we're on the desert island. How did we get here this time?
We surfed on the waves of my tears after that.
That's fine, okay.
Yeah.
Purposely came here on surfboards. Fair enough. So, we're on the island. It's been a wee while since we've been here. What did we last bring here? Oh, it was our most middle class items we could bring. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, I wasn't here, was I?
Were you not? I thought you were here for that one.
No.
Right. Who was it? Was it Mark? Mark and Mags, that's right, yeah. So this time, we're going to go for something really specific and totally on theme, though. We're going to bring something that's European to the island. Something.
Something.
Anything. Yeah. Anything from Europe to the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So my original idea was to bring centuries of bloodshed, but I've decided against that because we've got enough of that on the island as it is. So I'm going to bring someone who will sort out our affairs.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of killings on our island. They'll be able to track it down and sort it out. I'm bringing Detective Poirot.
the Belgian detective himself.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah, he's going to come along and basically, I mean, about 90% of his job is going to be going, yanny badger deed. But, you know, it's just how it is.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, what else can Poirot bring? A fantastic moustache.
Fantastic moustache, and he's Belgian, so he's going to be able to make waffles.
Yeah.
Like, guaranteed. He will start Poirot's Waffle House. So, because it's like islanders in Scotland, you know, they all have like multiple jobs, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just be a detective on an island, so he's going to also run a Waffle House.
He'd probably run a Waffle House.
Some problems out as well, like keep things in check, you know. Because we've got an unruly island right now.
Yeah.
And you consider what we've got on there. We need someone.
It's kind of funny because it kind of leads into what I think I'm going to bring, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you never want to use a Poirot. It's like nuclear weapons, but it's better
to, but when you need to.
Yeah, it's better to have them it's so that the other person doesn't do what we're going to do. You know what I mean? It's like,
you've got to spend billions of pounds keeping them there.
Yeah, I know.
And have sections of the island debate why they have them there.
Stash wax is very expensive.
Yeah. Now, I've got an essential question, is which Poirot are we bringing? Are we bringing
David Suchet?
David Suchet.
It's got to be Suchet.
Fucking I was going to say, or Kenneth Branagh, or...
Off. No. No.
Any of the other multiple people that have played them in the past?
Just for listeners, I just gave Kutch a disgust.
Yeah.
Look of absolute disdain.
Have you seen Murder on the Orient Express?
No.
I'm not either, but apparently he's a bit of an action, like rough and tumble Poirot.
Oh, no! No!
Leave that
remember
alone.
What Robert Downey Jr. did to
Sherlock Holmes,
but that was all right.
Yeah.
I think that's what Kenneth Branagh tries to do to Poirot.
Nah, just
isn't all right.
Just put Kenneth Branagh back on the boat and send him away from the island as far away as possible.
I can't wait for the genie to be a fucking.
Don't even. Have we spoken about Aladdin yet?
I think we have.
Oh, Christ. I've not been to see it, but I don't want to.
Do you know what? Jungle Book was very good.
Jungle Book's the only one out of a lot of them.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast was all right, but it was essentially just a cartoon.
Well, that's the problem with Beauty and the Beast was
and Aladdin by looks of it.
Yeah,
well.
They look like they're just like direct copies. Whereas Jungle Book did something a bit different.
Yeah,
yeah. And Pete's Dragon, I haven't seen it, but it doesn't look like from a trailer. It's exactly the same either.
The Lion King, I don't know what they're doing with. If it turns out to be exactly the same, it's going to be a bit boring. But I'm hoping
they've got a good cast for that one though.
But I'm hoping because it's the same director as Jungle Book,
Favreau.
Jon Favreau. That it'll
God,
be
he's so knee deep in Disney.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Mandalorian and everything.
Yeah.
When Lion King comes out this year, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Along with Toy Story 4.
Next week or something.
Next month. I think it's July. I think that one.
Yeah.
Or is it June?
I think it's Kermode did a review of it.
All right. Really?
I haven't listened to it, but it came up on my YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
They bring out Toy Story 4 as well this year.
Yeah.
Fuck Disney. Just stop. Anyway, do new things.
Poirot.
Yeah.
That's a solid addition. I think it's a good addition because having a detective on the island, you know, sort of a member of what are the police again?
I can't remember.
Having a member of, you know, of a police service, a strong detective, somebody who can help out, will certainly be comfortable. Mm. Showing up to what I'm bringing to the island.
Okay.
I'm going to bring the Hague Court. That's right. The International Court of Justice.
That does tie in quite nicely.
I've just got an image of a honey badger being accused of war crimes.
This is why I'm bringing
doing a shot of poison at the stand.
Can't take me down.
But yeah. Party time! There's nothing wrong, listeners, with laughing at war criminals killing himself. It's fucking hilarious.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Especially when they're on the docket.
The reason
I'm bringing it is because, well, not only do we have the honey badger, who's definitely, you know, guilty of war crimes on the island, we've also got some really nefarious characters going around, including yourself, Jamie.
What?
And I think we really need to get your workers, your animal workers, their rights and justice. So I
sound like a commie to me.
yes I am. The Hague Court, that's what I'm bringing.
Oh no. I didn't think about how it would affect my plantation. So I get those animals working in the fields.
Poirot will be figuring out all the bodies that keep turning up around the island. He'll be figuring
Union
out.
Union organisers.
Yeah.
Animal, like, parrots trying to organise against me. But I've strung up as a fucking warning to the rest of the cunts.
I love how it's the parrots that are the union organisers.
Yeah. Well, they talk the most, don't they? My symbol's a carrot and the stick, as we all know. my heraldics. Right. Someone in a Facebook group I was in, right?
Uh-huh.
I think you're in it as well. We're talking about... Right. We've got this baby being born, and we, you know, this is what we're thinking. We're setting up like a heraldic symbol for it. And everybody was being like, oh, that's really cool. And I had to use all of my strength not to go, what the fuck? What are you doing? Setting up a what? Are you a fucking duke? It doesn't need a fucking heraldic symbol. What the fuck is wrong with you? Anyway,
I did see that and I didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
They were serious. Yeah. I thought it was a joke at first.
Well, was it for a child?
Yeah, it was for a child.
Right, I thought it was because somebody had like got some kind of... Oh, wow, okay. That's mental.
What will your child Kutch have on its heraldic seal?
Probably a picture of Spider-Man or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Spider-Man and a sewing machine.
Yeah.
Job done.
Job done. Finished.
This sort of thread between them is the thread of
Spider
Silk. Yeah, going into the sewing machine. Oh my god.
I think you've just designed our family crest.
Yeah,
Jamie.
Family crest. That's the term I was looking for earlier. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah. That is mental. But yeah. No.
Oh well. I'll just be dodging the Hague then for the rest of my days.
So yeah, we've now got the International Criminal Justice Court on
But
the
you're
island.
Gonna fucking you're gonna compensate me for my slaves.
Yes.
Absolutely you're gonna come and then they'll come work for me anyways. Fucking indentured slaves or some shit.
You just start up capitalism in full on the island, yeah.
Done.
Great.
I might be opposite of myself on the island. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you just take a wee holiday from yourself for a few days.
Yeah.
become the worst human being possible.
I've also got a deep yet slightly suggestive southern accent that I can't do an impression of. But just imagine that as my character. If you've seen Into the Badlands, the main Baron in the first series, basically him.
I was going to say southern, like Cornwall.
Yeah. I was thinking of like that cowboy guy from The Simpsons. The billionaire guy.
No, like Alabama, where they can't show Arthur getting married to his mate, and they've redone the episode. One of his fake news websites was like, oh, Alabama accepted one where he marries his sister instead. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. What are you bringing, James?
Yeah. Well, I'm bringing something to the island. I'm bringing an institution with me. We need something to help promote the island, give it a good name, make it look good, but also cover up some of Jamie's bad, dastardly acts, get that away from the media attention.
The Hague.
We need to make sure the Hague's quiet about this as well. But
I think you're forgetting I own the police as well, since I brought Poirot fucking up. So watch your tone with me, boss.
Ain't no chicken. I've got Foghorn Leghorn in the corner here.
I say.
So we've got all these things, and like places like Israel, we need something to make us look like we're actually a nice place. So I'm bringing. So I'm going to bring the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, fuck. Jamie, this was a bad idea.
Yeah, you said this.
Lizzie would fucking love that.
Yeah, so
fucking mags. Class.
The Eurovision Song Contest.
Like, right. you can picture it now, right? You can have all this. It can have, like, you know where they have, like, the in-betweens of the songs that show, like, the acts dancing in random places. You could have them in the plantation. You can have them around about that, the desert island. You could have them in the middle of a Pamplona with the honey badger. You know, you could really highlight all these sights and scenes that we have on the island that people are like, I want to go to the island. We want to bring people in. We want to bring tourism.
Freddy Krueger mixing up a salad.
Because what you do is you make it look like a really nice, appealing place. Now, I'm going to go on Jamie's side here. I'm going to play devil's advocate. So you make this really nice, lovely, appealing place. So people will travel from around the world to see the Eurovision Song Contest. Then
I forget about me committing
war crimes. Now, while that happens, Jamie commits more war crimes and brings them into his plantation and forces all these people that have traveled over to work for them. So you can come to the island, but you never leave.
So this is how we free the animals.
Nah, because you need the island.
Am I Dr. Robotnik?
I think you are.
Fuck you, Jim Carrey. let's be real. I'm more Dr. Robotnik size. Give me some braces and I'm on my fucking way.
You just need to start.
I've got the ginger moustache and everything.
You just need to start curling your tash at the edges.
And then what you could do is, rather than just like sentencing all the war crimes at The Hague, you can make decisions based off a song contest. So if you've got a global disaster on your hands, song contest. Famine, song contest. Some people argue about the size of a kitchen, song contest. You just put them in. Look, right, sometimes okay. I brought an onagon one time. Sometimes having a fight's just not going to cut it. Sometimes we need to put some people under the cosh and make them sing for a bit. So, you know, song contest, bring it in.
It's like a karaoke death camp.
Yeah.
My lovely horse.
Well, that's the thing, like, you can go see. Look, normally we'd jail you, but we don't have a jail. We never brought one on the island. So you can either fight to the death in the onagon, or you can sing.
It's actually a good point, because I've brought the Hague, but we've got nowhere to put you, despots.
Yeah, so you need to sort them out.
Anyway, that's what they do.
Yeah. So, house arrest, I get to keep all my property.
So, I'm bringing
in... Which includes the animals.
So, yeah, I'm bringing in... And you can almost make it like the Hunger Games. You know, like the Hunger Games, you have like a representative of each town, and then they go in and battle to the death. You can do it with the Eurovision Song Contest. So you put someone from the desert island into the song contest, and someone puts on one singer, because they're shite anyway. So why not just put a singer in there and say, look, you are singing for your survival. So
were you watching Hunger Games like me on film 4 of the other night?
No.
Okay.
No. But it was in my mind. It was in my mind.
I like how you've also got a through line there from the European elections, the other mass European election ever is. And then the other mass European election that involves like Australia and Israel for some reason.
Yeah. And Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Azerbaijan is like other places like that.
It's all to do with was it the Eurovision, the Euro Television Network or something like that. There's a, it's a media organization.
You have to pay into it.
It's all the countries that pay into it that get involved with the Eurovision.
There's also a guy who's Dr. Eurovision, who did his PhD on Eurovision.
What?
And and he seems to
The thing is, I bet you there's a... Aye, there's enough there for a...
Oh, yeah. For like a media PhD. Yeah. I think he makes all his money from appearance fees on UK television around Eurovision time, and that's it. Time. And then, like, John Curtis goes into, back into his cocoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Personality.
Yeah, they swap around.
It is like, just not media, but politics as well. I mean, I bet you there's a shit ton of stuff behind that. Totally could.
Can you imagine how much more enjoyable the EU elections would have been if it was a song contest? Grand.
You might think that, but like Madonna, he was very dismissive about any controversy about him being Palestinian. Yeah, I saw him and he was like, "Oh, I think it brings people together and I think it's a big thing." It's like, oh, you're fucking... Like,
but that's what we need on the island. We need a guy like that. So it's just like
just a PR person.
We've got enough PR punts, guy. Thank you very much.
Because we've got Eurovision. Like whenever Eurovision is, he will not be far behind. So you know, might as well make use of him. Chuck him in the plantation. So whenever you're working, but then this one time of year you can get to go and be free, as long as you speak nicely about the island.
Oh well.
Well, that's a full round for the island this time round.
I'm fully aware I made the Eurovision Song Contest way more sinister than it actually is. But
it's all right. The Hague will sort it out.
They'll all be sentenced to work on my farm because I own the police. I'm the fucking police now.
Oh, aye. It's about as corrupt as anything else. Yeah. Fair enough. Right. Well, we call it a... Call it a close tonight.
Yeah.
Before we do, Jamie, do you want to give us the socials?
Yeah. Talk to us, please. We're needy. On facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, Instagram Five Club, website www.fiveclub.co.uk or email us at ken@fiveclub.co.uk or just fucking Google it.
Yeah. Can someone just buy a teddy bear already? I feel like I've asked this every fucking podcast I'm on. Buy a teddy. One of you, buy a teddy off the merch store.
If you want. You know, it's nice if you do, but yeah. You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
don't
worry. It's all good. And Radio Haver, we're on Radio Haver as well.
We're there.
Lots of our friends on there.
Yeah, hello, Radio Haver. I'm waving.
Right, they actually waved.
So I suppose it brings me to that time of the podcast where I have to ask, James, what's the motto this week?
Petey, Jamie added you on a Star Trek thing, so why don't you just look at that article and make it so?
Oh,
shite patter, ahoy.
Oh my god, there are so many make it so jokes with fucking him working on a vineyard. Oh, David, think of that, Picard. Oh,
guess what Jamie's doing?
I'm off to make
tonight.
Memes.
Make it slow.
Good night.
Night.